Good morning. I'm sorry to have to disturb you on a Sunday. Don Hayes is going to be here because while I'm away for the next couple of weeks visiting Washington, New York, London, and Brussels, he will be looking after the shop, as we say in English.
Donny
Rides. And we'll be dealing with issues in relation to this and other matters as they develop. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've called this press conference today in order to announce the decision I felt it necessary to take on the future of Privredna Banka Srpsko Sarajevo. After careful consideration, I have reluctantly concluded that I should accept the recommendation of the bank's provisional administrator and the governor of the central bank to revoke PBSS's license with immediate effect. The decision and the covering letter will be available to the public probably tomorrow morning, and you can obtain it on the OHR website. Let me make it clear before I explain the reasons for this that OHR has very reluctantly got involved in this matter. It's not, strictly speaking, our job at this stage. You know my policy, which is when we create BIH institutions, we leave it to the BIH institutions to do the business, and we then do it for them. But I was left with no alternative in this case to do the job which ought to be done by the RS Banking Agency. Now, this is not a criticism of the RS Banking Agency. They're a highly effective organization, brave, courageous, and under good leadership. But they have suffered unbelievable intimidation and threats, which simply prevented them from doing the job which we have had to do. The RS Banking Agency's provisional administrator, who ought to have been dealing with this right from the start and indeed was personally assaulted, beaten up, hospitalized. His family and his children were directly threatened. And there were threats also, and I leave it to you to judge from where they came, against other personnel in the RS Banking Agency. So we had no alternative but to take on this issue and to deal with it. Now, there's a lesson here, and it's a lesson I would like to be seen well beyond this individual and truly scandalous case, and which is this, that we in the international community are determined that we will do whatever is necessary in partnership with the BIH authorities, if they request it, to ensure that the corrupt forces in this country are brought to justice. That applies in this case, in the way that I've just described. It applies in other cases too, where, for instance, international judges are assisting local authorities in bringing high-level corruption to the court, because at present, no criticism involved in this. BIH's institutions are themselves too fragile to do this. So now to the decision itself. Well, my decision is based on my legal duty to do what is best for the depositors and what is necessary to ensure that the banking law is upheld and the integrity of the banking system is properly maintained. You know, our banking system and BIH is one of our most successful achievements, and I'm not prepared to let that be threatened. On Friday, the provisional administrator, as you know, declared the bank to be insolvent. She had no alternative. Privredna Banka Srpska Sarajevo's obligations are, and have been for many months, perhaps even years, far larger than their assets. 90% of the bank's loans are unsecured or secured by collateral that has little or no market value. The longer the bank remains operational, the more its assets will be used, the more the assets that should be used to service its operating expenses will be drained away, and the less the depositors will receive from their money. the bank has over a long period failed to meet the minimum legal requirement set by the RS banking law, and strenuous efforts to sell the bank have regrettably failed and have no realistic prospect of success. So if I don't act now, the money that depositors could retain out of the money they put in will be drained away, and it's important to protect those. For the past 3 years, Privredna Banka has been little more than a thinly disguised mechanism for its managing director, Mr. Momo Mandic, and his associates to divert public funds into their pockets. This has been done with at least the complicity and possibly the active help of some in the RS government and in the Municipal Council of Bielina. The management and shareholders have grossly mismanaged the bank to the detriment of depositors and customers. They have violated numerous RS banking agency regulations as well as banking law. As managing director Momcilo Mandic used this bank to benefit himself and the special interest groups, many of them political interest groups, who are close to him. He often bragged that the bank would make him, and I quote, one of the richest men in Bosnia and Herzegovina. He channeled depositors' money into his private companies and the front companies that he also owned. The extent of this abuse was such that there is now no realistic chance of the bank's rehabilitation. Let me give you a flavor of how Mr. Mandic managed the bank's money. In December 2002 and January 2003, Privredna Banka spent $500,000 to purchase 10 cars for Mr. Mandic's family members, political associates, and companies. Mr. Mandic signed off on the most expensive car personally, a new ID8 with a price tag of just over 200,000 KM. In July this year, Manco, Mr. Mandic's firm, sold three petrol stations that were used to secure the PBSS bank loans. I do not know what happened to that money. He should have used the proceeds to repay his loans so that depositors and his employees could be paid. He did not do this. In short, Mr. Mandic and his associates, in and outside politics, did everything they could to strip the bank's assets, not pay its depositors or its employees. I shall be looking further to see to what extent those in the RS governing parties and in Bielina Municipal Council use public funds without due diligence to prop up Mr. Mandic's bank. There were also transactions that open up concerns that some funds may have been passed into war criminals' hands. We shall be investigating that further as well. Apart from any other step, which I may take, the details of these and other transactions will be sent to the RS prosecutor for his consideration. What is clear is that government ministries and funds continued to deposit funds even after it was clear that the bank was totally insolvent, into Preven the Banker. A routine check by the RS Banking Agency in 2001 showed the bank to be clearly insolvent. Less than a year later, the banking agency identified further loan violations. And yet, a year after that, in April 2003, the RS Ministry of Finance transferred 1 million KM to Preven the Banker from the central bank, money that had been intended to service the RS's foreign debt. These grossly corrupt practices affected, in particular, the most vulnerable. A recent glance at the bank's accounts show a dozen government welfare funds with deposits in the bank. Let me give you some examples. The RS Housing Fund deposited 3.5 million KM in Mr. Manager's bank. This money was intended for subsidized housing for such disadvantaged people as war widows and invalids. These funds too, I regret, will now in the main be lost, adding to the suffering of those most vulnerable who would have benefited from it. The city of Bielina deposited 2.2 million KM in the bank, and that's the equivalent to the city's entire budget for the year 2003. That money too will in large part be lost. The cost will be paid not by Mr. Mandich and his political associates, of course, but by every citizen in Bielina, who will now not get the services they would otherwise have been entitled to get and expect. And there is more. The Employment Fund held 800,000 KM in the bank. The orphanage in Bielina deposited just over 150,000 KM in this bank. Now, the scale of this cynicism, disregard for public duty, and corruption in some of these transactions is quite simply breathtaking. And once again, it is ordinary people, depositors, and the most vulnerable who will pay the price. My heartfelt sympathy lies especially with them, and most especially with 150 or so employees that will now, I regret, lose their jobs because of Mr. Mandich's appalling behavior. One final point. We are now beginning, I think, at last, to clean out some of the corrupt, high-level structures that have for far too long held this country to ransom, blighted its future, and robbed from its people. Today's action is part of that process. It will not stop until that job is completed.